Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And I'm not going to get quite as in detail as Brother Mason, but something just came to me the other day, and I've been thinking about it for several days. Romans chapter 2, verse 1, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Question mark. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Amen. He is talking about those that judge, but then he talks about God and God's judgment. And then the last verse, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness. And if we want to use it in the same way, the riches of his forbearance and the riches of his long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And there's one word that's just been stuck in my mind for the last quite a few days, and it is the word forbearance. Amen. Somebody say that with me, forbearance. Forbearance. I know we use that word a lot, don't we? But I want to talk about the forbearance of God tonight and how he has been good to us and how it should make us change in how we deal with other people. Praise God. Let's pray together tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for these precious people that are here tonight. We ask you, Lord, to touch them and help them and strengthen them with the word of God. Give us a nugget of truth tonight that we can take it with us the rest of this week, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated tonight. I thought I would use the chalkboard and the podium to kind of get a little bit of an illustration here tonight. But the word forbearance here in this particular scripture, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, comes from a Greek word that means self-restraint or tolerance. And so the Bible tells us here that God has self-restraint. Amen. And thank God for that. He was going to destroy a city, and he was willing to change his mind. He was going to destroy the nation of Israel and start all over with Moses, but Moses changed God's mind. Amen. And so we see that God exercises self-restraint and tolerance. And so when we look at it here, I think this is very important to us when we talk about victorious living. And I believe that we need to strive for the victory as we live for God. Amen? I need the victory, and you need the victory as well. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 gives us a little bit of an insight into the forbearance of God, and it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness from or for the remission of sins that are past." Everybody said that are past. That's the past. Through the forbearance, and there's that word again, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And so if we just look at this, these verses of Scripture here tonight, and we look at this aspect of the Word of God, we can quickly see that if there was no forbearance of God, there would be no salvation. Amen. if God was not the God of forbearance or self-restraint or tolerance, the moment you sinned, you would be killed right there on the spot. Amen. And some people portray a God that is like that, but I don't believe that my God is like that. Amen. I don't believe that tonight. But Paul is talking to the Romans here, the Roman Christians, and he talks about the forbearance of God and the past. Amen. It tells us there, all have sinned and fallen short. We've all fallen short of the mark. And so to better understand the significance of this, we've got to look at God's response to us when we were far, far from Him. Amen. If we want to know how God deals with situations, how God deals with those that are against Him, God does not destroy those that are against Him. And in fact, I'll show you in the scriptures here that He actually blesses those that are against Him. Scripture that we don't have, I didn't put it down here tonight, but it tells us that He causes it to rain, it's raining tonight, on the just and on the unjust. And so the just man has a garden, and God rains upon it. And the unjust has a garden, and God rains upon it as well. Amen. He does not bring the judgment quickly, but God exercises self-restraint and tolerance. Amen. And so He tells them, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare the righteousness, or excuse me, His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And so we are justified freely by His grace. Amen. And He gave us that grace by becoming our propitiation for sin. How many knows what the word propitiation means? Amen. Well, it's not a word that we use a lot, but it is a word that simply, well, I guess a good example of it is my pastor used to do blacklight services, and this goes way, way back. And he had a flannel board, and he had cut out flannel figures, and he had a black light in front of it, and those figures would stand out on that board. And he talked about the boy that went to school and Mr. McRae that was the teacher. And Mr. McRae started the year out by saying, we've got to set some rules. But he said, I'm not going to set the rules. I'm going to let you set the rules for the year. This is way back, all right? We would never do that now. And so somebody said, no lying. So he wrote it on the board, no lying. Somebody else said, no stealing, and so there was no stealing. And somebody else said, no cussing, and so they wrote that down, and they put everything down that the students thought was wrong. And so that became the rules for the year. And so so there was a boy in the class that was very poor, and it came to be lunchtime, and one of the children in the class broke down and started crying. The teacher said, well, what's wrong? Said, somebody stole my lunch. And so he looked up and he said, somebody's stolen this boy's lunch. We need to find out who it is because it's written on the board, no stealing. And so he went from desk to desk, and when he got to this poor boy who didn't have any socks on, and he wore a coat in school time, he was wearing a coat, and as soon as he began to open up his desk, that's way back when the desk would open up and your books were inside. And the boy fell over his desk. And no, don't look at my desk. And he opened the desk and he said, there it is right there. There's the lunch. He stole the lunch. And so he said, you're going to have to take your lickings. And that was in the time when they gave you lickings at school. And that doesn't mean they lick you with their tongue. Amen. And so he said, son, in order for you to do this, you're going to have to take your coat off. And so reluctantly, the boy took his coat off, and lo and behold, he didn't have a shirt on, and that's why he was wearing that coat. And Mr. McRae, of course, his heart sunk. He didn't know what to do, and he said he's got to take his lickings because the rules are no stealing. He stole the lunch because he didn't have a lunch, and he was hungry. And so about the time that he was to get his licking, one of the big, big bullies in the class, one of the big, strong boys in the class, stood up and said, Mr. McRae, he said, it doesn't say on the board who has to take the lickings. He said, I'll take his licking for him. And so as the class looked and watched on, the big bully began to weep as the teacher was giving him his lickings. And when it was all said and done, the young boy that was poor went up and hugged the big boy and said, you took my lickings for me. That's what propitiation is right there. That's what happened at Calvary. God took our punishment for us. I'm thankful for that today. Because the punishment of sin is death. Amen. And so we look at Romans chapter 3 here, and it says, being freely justified by his grace, Paul is actually bringing out the present condition that we're in. And if we would really look at where we are tonight, we're in a good place. Amen. We're covered by grace. We're covered by the blood. Amen. We've got the Word of God, and we've got so many good things. Amen. And we need to be thankful. But the present here is brought out that we stand in the grace of God and God's redemption. Amen. So we can see the will of God for the future. And he talks about our present, but he says the way you got to where you are right now, and he reaches back and said it was because of a propitiation. It was because of a sacrifice that somebody made on your behalf. Amen. And we're here because someone stood in our place. Amen. Someone took the shame and the suffering and the penalty that I should have had. And I'm thankful for that tonight, and we all ought to be thankful for that. And it was at Calvary, of course, on the cross, that this happened. And the Bible says in Romans 5 and verse 8, it says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he didn't die for us after we decided to live for him, but he actually, the scripture tells us that he died for his enemies. Amen. He literally paid a price that any enemy of God can come and find grace and find salvation. And really, it's powerful when you begin to think about it. It's very awesome what God did for us. Amen. And so he reaches back again in that while we were yet sinners. In the past, while we were sinning, Christ died for us. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope I make it through this here tonight. Hope the lights don't go out. Amen. All right, I'll preach. You got to say amen so I'll know you're there. Amen. All right, praise God. Somebody will have to get their telephone out so I can see what I'm doing here. Amen. And so we need to see this tonight. We really need to consider this because judgment could have come, but it didn't come. Amen. We lived our lives, and all of us, and some more than others, lived our lives in a riotous way. lived our lives according to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen. And yet it didn't go that bad. Amen. I think sometimes when people forget about the forbearance of God, they look back and say, well, it wasn't really that bad. I had some good times. And I had some good times at this place. Remember what we did that night. And so on and so forth. But the truth of it is, the reason that we had the opportunity to do what we wanted to do is because God made a propitiation sacrifice for you and I. Amen. He withheld himself. He exercised self-restraint. He exercised tolerance. Amen. Not acceptance, not saying it's all right that you do this, but it was self-restraint and holding back judgment. And that's what Paul's talking about, is that we should not judge one another. Amen. And because it is a godly attribute, it is something that God is and God does. Praise the Lord. And so while we were yet sinners, amen, he died for us. And so forbearance is something that God didn't just try out to see if it would work, but it's something that God is committed to. Amen. God is committed to self-restraint in a time frame that he has set. You know, there's probably some people in your life that you've come across that are your enemies. And they've come against you. They've said things about you and so on and so forth. It's so very easy for us to say, God, why don't you just kill them? Amen. Well, God, why don't you just deal with this situation? And I know you're looking so innocent. Y'all got halos on tonight. But the truth of it is, there are times that we get pretty upset, amen, when people do us wrong. We do, and it doesn't mean that God's not upset. It just means that God is exercising self-restraint. Amen. Because he knows what's best, and his love is so much greater than our love that I don't think we can comprehend it. I don't think we can understand the love of God, that God would go to a cross and die for me, a sinner. Amen. That he would go and go through all that he did so that I could be here tonight just to be in the house of God. And I'm glad that I'm in the house of God tonight. Amen. This is where I want to go to heaven from, is the house of God. Praise the Lord. And it'd be great to go when you're preaching. Amen. Well, don't get quiet on me tonight. Amen. And so one example that we can look at, we love our children, don't we? You love your children. And there's hardly anything that you wouldn't do for your children. But when they're growing up, we tell them what to do and what not to do. And